So I think this is kind of the big change, is, you know, kind of changing the paradigm and lead with managed services to drive consulting, lead with managed services to drive integration services, modernization services, and so forth.
Welcome to TBR Talks, decoding strategies and ecosystems of the globe's top tech firms, where we talk business model disruption in the broad technology ecosystem, from management consultancies to systems integrators, hyperscalers to independent software vendors, telecom operators to network and infrastructure vendors, and chip manufacturers to value-added resellers. We'll be answering some of the key intelligence questions we've heard from executives and business unit leaders among the leading professional IT services and telecom vendors. I'm Patrick Heffernan, Principal Analyst, and today we'll be talking about our 2026 Managed Services Predictions with Boz Christoph, Principal Analyst for TBR's Digital Transformation Practice. I'm here with Boz Christoph, whose portfolio covers digital transformation, ecosystems, and professional services. So we want to talk about 2026 in two different ways. First, predictions, and then what you are excited to be researching next year. So let's start with predictions first. Out of all the predictions that you were involved with coming up with this year as we end 2025, what is the one that you're most excited about, you're most confident about, maybe the one you're afraid might actually come true in 2026?
Yeah, predictions are a tricky one. And thanks for having me. So I think looking at the way the market has evolved in the last 3 years, and maybe what's coming, not just in 26, but maybe you look even beyond the kind of a 1 year, but maybe to the 3 year horizon as well, because I feel like we are starting to make some pivots into the next 3 year, 3 to 5 year kind of a change in the marketplace. I think that the biggest shift that's going to start kind of paving the way for the next 3 years is the role of managed services and how the companies that have been investing in managed services position it. As you know, historically, we know the dawn outsourcing, you know, labor arbitrage has been enabled a lot of the low-cost providers to drive a significant amount of business, but it's been a support mechanism for the large enterprises, has enabled some businesses to come around, you know, and to make a name for themselves. And it has been, again, you know, being kind of like, okay, a cost driver, cost optimization driver. I think what we're going to start seeing is how companies are looking and considering managed services and the capabilities that they have been investing in, both the skills and the tools in the last 3 years, to use them as a business growth driver and be not just kind of essentially pivoting from the low-cost delivery model and factory model to more of a business growth model for those organizations, and looking in to understand how supporting the client's environments will provide them with the insights that are needed for potentially new consulting opportunities, for better process improvement opportunities, and just trying to think about, you know, how they can service the clients better. I mean, one can argue, say, well, that's essentially managed services, what it has been, right? But I think the change here is that vendors will look into managed services as a door opener, not as a door closer, essentially. So it's, in a way, they'll lead with managed services to drive consulting. They'll lead with the discussion around process optimization, which essentially it's, in a way, it's almost like a Trojan horse for them and allows them to increase that stickiness, to learn the client environments. I think some of the vendors, like the India-based outsourcing companies, have a very strong foothold and starting point. We've seen some of the consultancies like Deloitte and Accenture trying to go in that direction and kind of change the paradigm. We know others, like, you know, some of the rest of the big four also have been investing in managed services. I don't think they're going to go that far the way to lead with managed services, but I think the investment profile suggests that they'll try to definitely lean more heavily than they have in the past. So I think this is kind of the big change, is, you know, kind of changing the paradigm and lead with managed services to drive consulting, lead with managed services to drive integration services, modernization services, and so forth. That on itself, you know, is not going to be an overnight phenomenon. Like I said, it's, I think we are in a transition year that we're going to start seeing that model evolve and be a versions of it potentially in the next 3 years, 5 years. We're starting to hear, you know, vendors starting to think about investments into the whole notion of agent managed services as well, because you can say, why do you care about so managed services when agent, agentic AI will likely be substituting a lot of the human-enabled delivery. I think there will be parts of that, but I think there will be still the last mile of the support where it will be needed from a human perspective. And that human-in-the-loop kind of involvement will remain critical. And that's where I think some of those vendors will use that as they try to pivot their business model, as they try to adjust their business model moving forward, because this is where the trust comes into play. This is where you are able to answer the CFO's questions, the chief systems information, the CISO questions and so forth. So this is I think that's what we're starting to hear about right now. I think 2026 we're going to hear more examples of it, but I think this is the model of the future, at least for the next 3 to 5 years.
So two quick questions and an observation. So the two questions, quick questions. When you talk about managed services and growth, you're seeing the managed services revenue growth continue up. And then what you're talking about is sort of a sliver or a piece of it directly tied, a piece of consulting revenue directly tied to those managed services opportunities that's going to grow alongside it and faster. Yes?
Yes, it's exactly. It's both, actually. I think it's, managed services, yes, will continue to grow, but it's exactly that. It will create opportunities for the management consultancies to drive up and to expand, what has been a struggling market mm-hmm. in the last couple of years for consultancies. And it's a way of them to deliver value, to deliver outcomes, and to be a little bit more tangible in their offerings, because we know consulting and outcomes can be sometimes a little bit like up for interpretation. Mm-hmm. And when the consultancies and the services providers talk about outcomes, in this case, I think will require them to be a little bit more concrete. It's a way to demonstrate the value rather than just saying you are going to be getting some kind of a outcome, but very kind of a wishy-washy.
Right. Yeah. Right. So then a quick question on that, and it's sort of maybe you're answering it right there, but it makes so much sense for managed services to be an entree to consulting. Why hasn't it happened? Or more importantly, what are the things that will prevent some companies from being able to, some IT services companies and consultancies from being able to execute on that model?
Yeah, I'll probably start with a second here. I think what's going to prevent is a lot of it is going to boil down to internal challenges, because especially the consulting firms, they are known for, that's their brand, is to lead with consulting, right? So it's very hard for, take BCG or anybody else, it has been known to start with managed services, even some of the big four firms, as much as they've been investing in managed services, it's going to be much harder for them to, to say we are now, managed services providers first and consulting.
Right.
First.
So BCG starts with consulting, so it'll be hard for them to start.
To make that change. It's a branding headwind. It is an internal kind of a stakeholder change, change management headwind. And I think has been probably one of the key reasons why it has not happened. I think the other part is that it will be hard for some of those companies, to convince buyers that they actually are good at managed services, or they have the right price point for managed services.
Right.
I think that's part of it as well. Just like it's hard for those companies to convince buyers that they can develop and sell software, which we know it's an effort.
We know that story well,
and we know it's coming around again now with Gen AI and Agentic AI.
Yep.
So I think this is kind of like we're kind of circling right back to what we've been saying for years, is staying with your own swim lane probably is your best strategy. Mm-hmm. And when you need to partner first rather than trying to build yourself, trying to maybe change the sequence of those things. But yeah, that's how I see it.
So what you just said leads to an observation for me that I think is part of the next question, the big question I have for you. And what I think you've been saying is that the last couple of years have been just so disruptive mm-hmm. with AI, Gen AI first and then agentic AI. And just we've had 2 or 3 years where the change is happening so fast. Mm-hmm. But now we're about to go into a 3 to 5 year stretch where change is going to happen more slowly, and some of the more strategic decisions and some of the more the decisions like around how you change to a managed service-led business model are going to play out in a longer horizon. So if that's the case, and you said, right, so I'm going to take it as it is, what are, when you look out next year, 2026, but even 3 years, mm-hmm. what are some of the issues that you're looking forward to diving into deeper? Like, where do you want to go deeper with some of the research?
Yeah, I think, if we start looking into that horizon of like the managed services led kind of a business services, business model, essentially for most of the companies, there's a couple of things that will certainly for us will be on the horizon from a research perspective and going deeper, you know, immediately. I would say understanding the changes of the staffing model of the companies, understanding the mix of the staffing model between humans and digital FTEs, understanding how that's going to impact the P&L of the companies that we track closely. I mean, we know those companies' P&L fairly well. We understand ins and outs of the P&L in terms of hiring, understand the cost of services structure, whatnot. Now, when you start adding the digital FTE, I think that's going to be a big element of changing, because when it comes to many services, you know, you're also trying to, in the same time, trying to introduce new technology as an enabling to those many services. How do you account for that as part of your talent pyramid? How do you account for that as part of your pricing model? How do you account for that when it comes to your profitability levels and predictability levels? So I think these are some of the questions we'll be going after to better understand the implications and what are the variables that are shaping in a digital FTE build out. I mean, you know, we know what a human cost, you know, it looks like, right? You know, salary, benefits, insurance. Right. But then we think about digital FTE, like what are some of the variables that need to be accounted for, and how do you blend that with the humans? And then most importantly, how do you monetize that? Right. How do you price it to the client, that client understands that what they're paying for? Because that's another thing that, you know, clients are increasingly looking for, enterprises are increasingly looking for, is transparency. So I think for us, that will keep us definitely very busy understanding the changes of the staffing pyramid to account for the inclusion of digital FTE. That's going to be a big factor. Changes in the commercial models of the organizations we track closely will be another factor, you know, for us to, from a research perspective, and understanding like who's really making a pivot in there. Because if we look at the times and materials being kind of the predominant commercial model today, probably it's fair to say that in the next 5 to 7 years, you know, that times and materials, there'll be probably a fraction. Maybe if we're like at 90% today, probably it's going to be less than 10% in the next 5 to 7 years. And that's understanding those incremental changes that's going to require to make those companies will certainly keep us busy. And then last but not least is also all these changes cannot occur in a vacuum. They occur in the ecosystem, right? So understanding the implications of your partners and communication and setting up the right strategy as you go into market. I mean, those digital FTEs, as I mentioned, they can be viewed as a piece of software. They are a piece of software, mm-hmm. but your partners may see them as being a threat to their business model as well. So how do you, you know, then build that in a way that your partners understand the value proposition of a digital FTE versus not being seen as a threat to their core business? You know, those agents, it's a very fluid word, agents, right?
Right.
So I think, you know, it's very, you have to be very careful how do you message your evolving value proposition within your partner ecosystem as well.
That's fantastic. And at a minimum, guaranteed, we're going to see sometime in the next year to 3 years where the benchmark, one of the benchmarks you work on, the global delivery benchmark, will have to become the global and digital delivery benchmark, right?
Very likely. I mean, you know, understanding the changes in the composition, that's going to be a big part of it. Understanding those digital FTEs are becoming an element. We are keeping an ear out, essentially. Yeah. We have some anecdotal examples at this moment, but it's more of a time horizon. It's not an overnight change, but it's beginning to kind of like everyone's accounting for those changes.
Excellent. Thanks, Buzz.
Thank you.
Next week, I'll be speaking with Ben Carboneau and Angela Lambert about 2026 devices and infrastructure predictions.
Don't forget to send us your key intelligence questions on business strategy, ecosystems, and management consulting through the form in the show notes below. Visit tbri.com to learn how we help tech companies, large and small, answer these questions with the research, data, and analysis that my guests bring to this conversation every week. Once again, I'm your host, Patrick Heffernan, Principal Analyst at TBR. Thanks for joining us, and see you next week.